Good morning, everyone. Members, if you'll take your seats, we will begin. And I apologize, we're just a minute or two behind schedule. It's early. And I appreciate everybody being here this early morning meeting. John, will you please call the roll?
Chair Boyd?
Here.
Vice Chair Diaz? Ranking Member Cruz? Representative Ahern? Representative Baxley? Representative Cullen? Representative Edwards? Representative Holder? Representative Hooper? Representative Peters? Representative Rooney? Representative Williams? Representative Workman, excuse.
Thank you, John. We have a quorum?
Yes, sir, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Also, I'd like to remind anyone in the audience that if you wish to address the committee this morning, we'd love to hear your comments. Please fill out a appearance card that are on the front table here. I know some of you already have, and we have those, so we'll look forward to hearing from you just a little bit later. Also, members, just briefly on your desk, there's a visual of the bill, and it kind of, in visual format, goes over what your staff analysis and what you have otherwise to look at, but it's just kind of a nice visual of what this bill does today. So, let's begin. We'll call this meeting to order, and we have one item on our agenda today. It's PCB EES 13-01. Since I'm the sponsor of this bill, I will turn the gavel over to Vice Chair Diaz while we're considering this bill. Vice Chair Diaz, you are now Chair Diaz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members. The one item on our agenda this morning is proposed committee bill EES 1301, the Elections Reform Bill. Chair Boyd, you are recognized to explain the PCB.
Thank you, Chair Diaz. I'm proud to say that the bill before you is the result of a collaborative effort to address the difficulties experienced by many voters in the 2012 election. We have considered public testimony, the recommendations of the Department of State, and the supervisors of elections. We have also discussed policy options, as you will recall very well, at our earlier meetings. As a result of all of our efforts, I believe this PCB represents true election reform for Florida. The PCB before you is consistent with the proposed changes we discussed at our previous meetings and workshops, so I'll just briefly explain the PCB. This PCB makes four fundamental changes to the law. First, as suggested by the Supervisor of Elections in the Department of State, it increases early voting days from the current required 8 days to a minimum of 8 days and a maximum of 14 days, providing each Supervisor of Elections the discretion to conduct early voting on the Sunday before the election if she or he chooses. Second, as suggested by the Supervisor of Elections and the Department of State, the PCB increases early voting hours from the current 96 to a minimum of 48 hours and to a maximum of 168 hours. Third, the PCB expands early voting sites to include fairgrounds, civic centers, courthouses, county commission buildings, stadiums, and convention centers. And lastly, the PCB applies a 75-word limit to the first of multiple summaries in a joint resolution, while any remaining summaries would not be subject to the 75-word limit. The PCB also applies a 75-word limit to joint resolutions containing only one summary, but does not apply a 75-word limit to summaries rewritten by the Attorney General. Members, Mr. Chair, that is the PCB.
Thank you, Chairman Boyd. Members, we have a number of amendments today. We will be taking those up first. We will start off with four amendments by Representative Edwards, which can be found in the amendment packets on your desk. Each amendment has an amendment number at the top of the page. Representative Edwards, you're recognized to explain your first amendment, Amendment 1.
Vice Chair Diaz, thank you. Good morning. I have four amendments that were taken in the spirit of putting into writing some of the recommendations that we've heard from constituents and various groups over the last 4 months. Recognizing today and talking with members of this committee and members of the public, we still have a ways to go with the language and trying to work towards something that we can all agree upon, and I'm going to withdraw all four amendments this morning and look forward to working with the chair and the committee in the coming weeks. Thank you, Vice Chair Diaz.
Representative Edwards, will you be explaining them and then withdrawing them, or are you withdrawing them all at this point?
I'm going to withdraw all at this point, Vice Chair Diaz. Thanks.
Show amendment number 1 through 4 withdrawn without objection. Next, we have Representative Williams, who also has a series of amendments. Representative Williams, would you like to explain your amendments?
Thank you, Chair Diaz. Amendment number 5, and members in your packet, requires, and let me back up and say that I want to first say thank you to Chairman Boyd on the process that we've gone through thus far. And in doing so, I want to introduce this First Amendment that will require early voting on the Sunday before the election for all gubernatorial and presidential general elections. And members, the reason for this, I've heard from a number of institutions, entities throughout the state of Florida prior to us even convening in session back in November about the lack of having that Sunday before the election as an option for early voting. And I will tell you that what really got me to this point was when I heard the supervisor of elections from Miami-Dade say that they wanted and they could do early voting on that Sunday before, and with it being the most populous county in the state of Florida, I said, you know, if Miami-Dade can do it and still get the operations out, then I think everyone could do it. And so that's why I put this amendment forward. But however, I understand that we're trying to get to a product that we can all support. I will withdraw this amendment for today only, but with the hopes that I can work with the bill sponsor to get this into the final bill that we vote on the floor. However, if it's not, you will see this amendment again.
Thank you, Representative Williams. Show amendment number 5 withdrawn without objection. We now have amendment number 6 by Representative Williams.
Thank you, Chair Diaz. Amendment number 6 in your agenda packet requires that the state to pay for the operating costs, one-time operating costs, to purchase the poll books owned by the to be owned by the county supervisor of elections. That cost, members, is, I think, right at about $3,000, give or take. Obviously, buying such a large number probably would leverage some opportunities, some economies of scale there. However, and the reason this is important, many of the supervisors of elections, when they came up and testified before us, they stated that they have some concerns about, and members on this committee said they had concerns about possible fraud at the polling booths. And I believe, members, that this would be a great way to, one, advance technology. We know that our counties are strapped, especially some of our communities in our rural counties of economic concern. They don't have the dollars to pay for these. And this would be a great way, I think, to, one, give them the technology they need to make sure that our elections are fair. I think it will reduce the amount of fraud that is perceived to be there, but I think it would almost take it down to something that less than even the 1% that's already out there right now. So with that, Chair Diaz, that's the amendment. And at this time, I will choose to withdraw this amendment.
Thank you, Representative Williams. Show amendment number 6 withdrawn without objection. We will move to amendment number 7 by Representative Williams. You have the floor.
Amendment number 7 provides that if it is determined that a person voting a provisional ballot was not registered or entitled to vote at the precinct where the person cast the vote in the election, the provisional ballot must be counted for all races not unique to that particular precinct. Votes unique to that precinct may not be counted. And this is, members, is a great example, and I shared this with some of my colleagues yesterday. If we remember back in November, the devastating tragedy that we had to our neighbors to the north in New Jersey, in New York, it was right around Election Day. And many of those communities were impacted by the storm, similar to the storms we always get down here in Florida, but they were given the opportunity to vote. If they say, for example, they lived in lower New York, but they went up to Albany to live with relatives because their homes were destroyed, they were given the opportunity to vote for every major election in the state, but now if they want the same vote for someone in their particular precinct or district, their congressional race, they weren't allowed to vote in that from their home site up in Albany, from their relocated site in Albany. This will be the same thing here in Florida. This will give individuals the opportunity to vote for all the major elections, all the cabinet races, all of the statewide races or presidential races on the ballot, or constitutional amendments on the ballot that have a statewide impact, and we give them that opportunity to do that. And so, Mr. Chair, that's the amendment. However, at this time, I want to withdraw that. Talking with the chair, Boyd, we think that we can get to a compromise. However, this is something I believe is very, very important. And if we can't get to a point where we can put this into the bill, you will see it again as an amendment for everyone to vote on.
Thank you, Representative Williams. Show amendment number 7 withdrawn without objection. We now go to amendment 8 by Representative Williams. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you. Amendment number 8 designates the general election as a statewide holiday. We heard from Supervisor of Elections that in Broward that they found to have the ability to use the school sites, which we used to use. I remember as a child going to the school with my mother when she would drop me off. She would actually go and vote and then drop me off. And obviously, through a number of issues that have impacted our, the safety of our schools, in particular the Justice on Lunch for that, it makes it very difficult for just an average citizen to go on campus and go and vote. And so obviously, understanding those safeties that we need to have in our schools, this would give us the opportunity, one, to meet what Broward is doing and have been successful in doing by taking a day off, but really give the entire state employees a day off to go and vote. And and what many would save is a also economic development tool. We know that although many folks may take off, for example, Martin Luther King holiday or some of the other state holidays that we have, when they take a day off, they don't just take it off. They go out into the stores, they shop, they stimulate the economy. So not only do we show that we're serious about taking our elections very, very serious, we also are giving the opportunity to our economy the stimulus that they need on a very important day. And so this is a bill I introduced last year and was excited to hear that we were going to be doing election reform, and was something I want to see that we try and get into our bill before we have before we vote on it. So talking with Chairman Boyd, he likes the idea, and he wants to look at it some more and see what the unintended consequences may be, but at this time I'm going to withdraw it.
Thank you, Representative Williams. Show amendment number 8 withdrawn without objection. We now move to your last amendment, amendment 9, by Representative Williams. You have the floor.
Thank you, Chair Diaz. Amendment 9, members, requires that the state pay for absentee ballot postage for gubernatorial and presidential elections. It's pretty simple. When we heard from the Secretary of State, Detzner, he shared with us that he figured the cost would be over, say, a four-year period for the gubernatorial and then the presidential to be right around $4 million price tag for absentee ballots that come from overseas and from those who have mailed them here in the state of Florida, or those who live in the United States. It's a simple way to make sure that everyone vote, their votes count. When they put it in the mail, and sometimes we forget to put stamps on our bills, sometimes this is one of those times where when they put it in the mailbox, they don't have to even worry about it. They put it in, it gets to where it needs to go, and their vote is counted, and democracy is the beneficiary of it. And that's the amendment. And with that, I withdraw it. Working with Chairman Boyd, I'm sure he's going to see all five of these amendments at some point. And I'm sure, you know, if we can get beyond Valentine's Day, show some love, we might be able to get all five of them in.
Thank you, Representative Williams. Show amendment number 9 withdrawn without objection. I do not have any other amendments before me now. So Chairman Boyd is going to be answering questions at this point. Does anybody have any questions for Chairman Boyd? Showing no questions, is there public testimony? We have two speakers. If there's anybody else that would like to speak, please fill out a form and hand it to us here at the front. We will start off with Brian Pitts from Justice to Jesus. Mr. Pitts, you have some information you want to share with us today?
Thank you very much, Brian Pitts, Justice to Jesus. On measure at hand, from a general standpoint, I thought the purpose of a PCB is for all members to weigh in and not be enticed or manipulated or concocted or deceived. Here it is, several members withdrew. The point of the PCB is all to weigh in, prejudice or not, bias or not. Apparently, the process is not working today. Nine amendments. Don't tell me the process is working when you just withdrew. Obviously, you got issues. Well, you know, the people back home are supposed to be dealing with campaign, election reform here. Again, looks like the process is not working too well. You got withdrawals, and now you're... With that, you know, this body passed out 569. So why isn't this body PCSing this bill with Representative Schenck's bill for a full package so you can send it over to the Senate, since you're dealing with the elections package and you're both supposed to be sending over the ethics package? To save time, send a message to people who are serious. To be efficient, you did that bill, you should have held it here in committee, put them both together, PCS'd. Bam, there it is, you're on your way. Beyond that, okay, I'm still talking about the bill and the aspect of the process itself. The bill itself, you don't send a message. What did you take from 1355 and correct? So the citizens know. Because most citizens know the whole issue about this came partly because of the 1355 bill. What message have you sent to things first members that let everybody know that we're changing, that needed correction from 1355 was, we're changing this back to this, boom, boom, boom. So people, media all know what stemmed this problem, 1355, we're telling you right now what we're changing. Bam. Now, here's some new stuff that we're doing that was not part of 1355. So it sends a message that we're in for reform. The reform we tried to do, it obviously didn't work out, but we're undoing that, 1355. Here's the things we're undoing. I mean, you can look at the bill and try to tell which parts, but it should be obvious. Most know what the problem was from. Start with that to give some PR. That's good PR. Also showing the constituents that we're very courteous, have a courtesy and understand what brought this about. We're correcting the errors that we made as human beings, as your elected officials. At least in my opinion, but nevertheless, moving on to the next point. FEC proceedings. Nothing in the bill deals with that. Yes, I did check, and you're correct. Connie, you kind of shouldn't have told me that, because you know sometimes I miss stuff. So I did check up Mr. Gere, the presentation they did before you. Uh-oh. They mentioned to you some problems that was legitimate. So now I'm just going to come right back with you with some of the issues they brought up. The proceedings in general, nothing in the bill touches on it at all. Well, you had the presentation. They gave recommendations to you. We're doing a, you know, campaign elections reform bill. None of it is in here. From 106, which, okay, nevertheless, one issue they brought up was 105.071 and 106.252. And now, yes, I'm getting in your face on this. I don't know why you're so scared to mess with judges. I don't understand it. They're going to cut you down at some point. You keep, y'all all right. No, they're not. FEC came before you and told you they were uncertain as to whether or not they could pursue campaigns concerning judges. And they gave you those two statutes I just mentioned, and they said you need to make some clarity on it. In the bill, not there. But since it's judges, I think I understand why. Representative Plinken, when he was here, remember they had that issue with the governor and all about the judges using their employees? Now's the opportune time. Make very clear. Judges, you no longer will use any employee to do stop or oral argument, and at the last minute, have your employees sign off on your election papers. That's what it was about. Again, nobody touched them, even though they did violate a valid statute, but it's judges. So that's why above the law. They're above the law. Now, you think I'm saying this to be sarcastic and everything. No, it happened. They got away with it. You're doing a package on election reform. It's supposed to be election reform, not the executive, local government, and legislative branch, and that's it. Okay, well, who's missing? The judicial branch is missing. There is no regulation in the bill to deal with any judicial campaigns. At some point, hopefully, y'all get the courage to deal with this. I'm not trying to put you down, but I'm saying you're going to. I'm being straightforward. If you're doing a campaign election reform bill, judges run campaigns too. That means, look, if you need to talk to them, go across the street. Say, look, come to a consensus. But we're doing a full reform. The citizens need to understand it's all three branches and local government. The message in this bill has nothing to do with judiciary. So you're not doing a full reform. I'll just say right now, you're not doing a reform. Until we see judicial campaigns dealt with in here and FEC components dealing with here, you're not there yet. I say this because this is supposed to be the PCB. Everybody weigh in. Everything you got, let's throw it in, kitchen sink it all, and then we'll go ahead and vet it all. I don't know. Okay, hopefully you get somewhere, but this is supposed to be the place it started. This is the germane or the purview committee where it deals with. It's ethics and election subcommittee. This would be where it would be. With that, I think I'm going to go ahead and end. Oh, yeah, I think I'm going to go ahead and end. I will end with the judge thing because, you know, nevertheless, you know, I can provide a package, but, you know, sometimes I won't. And on this one, I won't. I mean, why? Thank you much.
Thank you, Mr. Pitts. Next, we have Sonia Gibson with the Florida New Majority. She has some information she would like to share with us today. Ms. Gibson, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Sonia Gibson, and I'm an activist with Florida New Majority and an educator of Palm Beach County, Florida, and I would just like to share my voting experience from this 2012 election. I personally, along with my daughters, experienced long, unusually long waiting lines and crowded precincts during the voting process. I went to early voting, and I stood in line for about 9 hours. I still didn't get a chance to vote on that day, so I went on voting day. And while standing in that 10-hour line on election day, I witnessed people, young and old, standing in long lines for as long as 8 hours, only to be turned away and deprived of their voting rights. Voters were told that their names were not on the list, being refused of the right to vote because of name errors, maybe their addresses changed, or maybe they were displaced in other homes and they couldn't vote. People will become frustrated because their registration statuses could not be verified. And those voters that could not read or understand the ballots, their questions weren't being answered and they were turned away also. Precincts were overcrowded. They often closed before voters had a chance to vote, and voting machines were often broke down. This also added to the frustration of the voting process, as voters were turned away and did not get a chance to vote on election day. Thank you for recognizing the need for election reform here in Florida. We want to ensure that Floridians are no longer prevented from voting due to errors or ineffective policies. I believe that in order to make the process fair and accessible to all voters, we should make sure that ballot summaries be limited to 75 words. Early voting should be restored to 14 days, including weekends, and the last Sunday before Election Day. We should also ensure voting for at least 12 hours each day. And finally, the supervisor of elections should be provided the flexibility to choose early voting locations that are consistent with the selection sites on Election Day. If Florida is a key swing state, then Florida should be able to preserve key voting policies and processes necessary to serve as an example to the rest of the country, which is the fuel of our constitutional rights and our democracy. Thank you so very much for letting me tell my story.
Thank you, Ms. Gibson. I do not have any further appearance cards, so we will be moving to debate. Is there a debate? Representative Baxley.
Thank you, Chairman. I rise in support of this good bill. And I want to thank Chairman Boyd for leading a very fair and civil discussion on the issues related to voting. Clearly, people's right to vote and their participation in the Democratic Republic in this way is essential to all of us. And despite many other remarks, I don't think any of us would want to inhibit a person being able to participate. From much of the testimony that was offered before this committee in preparation of this bill, it's clear that many of the issues even addressed this morning in testimony are logistics. We have logistics problems, but 62 counties did great. That being aside, that we have other partners who are part of this process to help us have fair and accurate elections that everyone can be confident and credible, have credibility with the results, whatever they are. We certainly need to do our part to enhance success. And the chairman has led us through a process where we have identified things and for this bill that could help enhance the success of conducting fair elections in Florida. I believe this is a fair and needed response. It'll go a long ways to dealing with some of the problems that voters had this past election. And it's my honor to support this bill this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Baxley. Representative Holder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and the other Mr. Chairman, thank you very much for bringing forward this very good bill. Members, over the last few months, we've heard from supervisors of elections that ballot length was one of the reasons for long wait times on election day, and we heard evidence of it being common for voters to take 30 or more minutes to vote. While the length of ballots is not something that this legislature has complete control over, one thing we can control is the number and size of the amendments that are placed on the ballot. This bill limits the first proposed ballot summary of any amendment proposed by the legislature to 75 words, the same cap faced by citizen initiatives. This bill is comprehensive in its scope, and I believe it will bring accessibility and efficiency to our elections process. It is a good bill, and I look forward to supporting it, and thank you for bringing it forward.
Thank you, Representative Holder. We have Representative Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, and I've been saying it for some time, that I'm pleased that the House and Senate leaders are recognizing that serious problems erupted with Florida's 2012 elections. And I have been pleased to work cordially with Chairman Boyd and other Republican leaders, and I appreciate that. There's a firm realization now that Florida needs more voting days, we need more polling locations, and in those locations and those sites, they need to be properly staffed and properly equipped. Giving people the ability to change their address at the polling place, as was allowed for 40 years until 2011, is very important. It's a very important element of a real elections reform package. And I really hope that this House will take action in future committees to make sure that such provisions are included in this bill. I still think that there are other very important proposals not yet included in this bill that will help make this a good bipartisan product. Allowing Florida's election supervisors the discretion that they need in selecting early voting sites that are best for their communities is a sensible and reasonable improvement that I encourage the House of Representatives to consider. In addition, the idea of limiting the number of words in the summaries of legislatively proposed constitutional amendments would go a long way toward preventing the kinds of long lines that we saw at voting places in last year's election. The currently proposed language in the bill is just not sufficient, and I hope, I really do hope, that we work toward a better solution. And I think that we all know that too many absentee ballots were rejected in the recent election. This bill, in its current form, does nothing to prevent disenfranchisement of those who believe they properly exercise their right to vote using an absentee ballot. So, Mr. Chairman, so, Chair Boyd, we're accomplishing a great deal here today, but there still is more work that needs to be done on this legislation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Cruz. I saw Representative Williams hand raise.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Diaz. Members, we have a golden opportunity in front of us. 2 years ago, as we sat on the floor and as we left the floor, many of us frustrated and dejected over what had just passed in House Bill 1355, knew what the potential impacts would be to the entire state of Florida. Well, last night, as the President gave his State of the Union address, we got to see firsthand and witness firsthand one of those individuals that was impacted. It so happened that it's one of those individuals, 102 years old, Ms. Dessalene Victor, had waited in lines too long, and too long for anyone, whether they're 102 or 22. We have an opportunity to put forth a package that not that Republicans will like, not that Tea Parties will like, not that Democrats will like, but a package that Floridians will like, and a package that the rest of the United States will say, you know what, Florida is no longer one to be the laughing stock the day after the election. The only way we get there, I believe, is by through a true bipartisan effort. We have a first. We have a great first step. There are many great proposals that were presented today and withdrawn, all nine of them, that I think will make this bill even better. And through the efforts and through the hard work that Chairman Boyd has put into this, and through our conversations and through conversations with both Republicans and Democrats on this committee, I think we can all support it today. But we do have some work to do before it reaches the floor. And I'm willing to sit down with you whatever it takes. If it takes the same amount of time that somebody had to wait in line to get the opportunity to vote, I wait 7 hours and work 7 hours with you, Chairman Boyd, to make sure that we get this package in a place that is respectable to everyone in the state of Florida. With that, I encourage everyone to support this first step.
Thank you, Representative Williams. Is there any further debate? Representative Ahern.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm just a little surprised that with these nine amendments, because this is the committee for the vetting process to take place where the questions are asked, where the debate takes place on these nine amendments. So I'm not sure what's wrong with these amendments, that they can't be presented in the committee, in the Ethics and Elections Committee, that we would not have a chance to do that. So, you know, it's sort of going around the process a little bit in my eyes. So, we'll definitely want to take a closer look as those go further through the process. Thank you.
Any further debate? I would like to share some comments. In Miami-Dade County, we had some of the worst lines, and our mayor convened a group to analyze the election, and I actually went to that committee, and it was funny to sit there and listen to them say that the legislature would not go far enough, and they were going back and forth and suggesting that we add one additional day or give the supervisors of election the discretion to add one additional day to early voting. because we would never, ever go back to 14. And they were wrong. Every major suggestion that that committee proposed and sent to Tallahassee is included in this bill. And I am very proud of our chairman and the work he's done. And I look forward to hearing him close. So, Chairman Boyd, you are recognized.
Thank you, Vice Chair Diaz, and thank you for those very kind remarks. I had a kind of a scripted close that I wanted to give, and I promise you I'll be brief, but I do want to just address, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to speak from the heart and just give you a couple of thoughts as we move toward the end of this meeting today. You know, to Mr. Pitt's comments earlier, and I appreciate your comments, sir, we are dividing this thing into sections, and as you know, we had campaign finance on Monday. Very proud of the fact that in a bipartisan effort we passed that bill. Today we have elections, and it sounds like if, you know, I don't want to outrun my headlights, but it sounds like we're going to have bipartisan support of this bill today. And then our first week in March, the first week of session, actually, when we reconvene this committee, we'll be taking up ethics. So we will be dealing with all three of those issues independently. And, you know, in the end, I don't know how that shapes up in one or two or three bills, but that's where we are with that. And then, Ms. Gibson, thank you for taking the time to come all the way from Palm Beach today and be here and share your thoughts and your story. And really, more importantly, thank you for being such a great example to your daughters and taking them to the polls and showing them what it means to vote and how important that is. So thank you, ma'am, for that. And I think what I heard of your concerns, I do believe that this bill today addresses most of, if not all, of those concerns. So we are taking those issues very seriously. And to Vice Chair Diaz's point a minute ago, we've expanded even some of the requests that have been made by individual supervisors. And we have taken that testimony from the Secretary of State and from the supervisors and from the public that have come to testify before this committee very seriously. We've tried not to reinvent the wheel. We feel like we had a good start with Chairman Baxley's bill 1355, but we think there were some improvements that need to be made, and even as you heard him earlier, he acknowledged that, and I appreciate very much his willingness to be part of this discussion, because he was so crucial in what we've already done. So as far as some of the amendments that were talked about today, this is a process, and I want to thank my colleagues on the Democratic side, Leader Thurston, Floor Leader Waldman, Ranking Member Cruz. We've had a great partnership, and I said at the outset of this committee weeks ago that at the Speaker's direction and the Speaker's leadership, this was going to be a bipartisan effort. This wasn't something that the Republicans were going to do. This was something we were going to do together, and I feel like we've done a lot to accomplish that that task. I'm very proud of where we are today. Are there some things that we could tweak to make it a little better as we move forward? Absolutely, and we're looking at those, and we're talking about those, and I think Ranking Member Cruz has addressed that. So I'm very proud of the fact that we're where we are today with this bill. I commit to my friends on both sides that there's more dialogue to be had. We'll be working through this over the next couple of weeks, and before the next committee stop, there may be some things we can do to make improvements. And my door, Representative Williams, you won't have to wait 7 hours in line. I promise you, I'm just not that important. So you can come anytime, sir, and I'll look forward to hearing from you. But today this is a good start, as was said, and I appreciate all that everyone here has done, both from the public and on this committee, to get us where we are. And I'm very proud of where we are. So with that, I would ask for your favorable support. Thank you, Vice Chair.
Thank you, Chairman. Will the Administrative Assistant please call the roll on PCB EES 1301?
Chair Boyd?
Yes.
Representative Ahern?
Yes.
Representative Baxley?
Yes.
Representative Cullen?
Yes.
Representative Cruz?
Yes.
Representative Diaz?
Yes.
Representative Edwards?
Yes.
Representative Holder?
Yes.
Representative Hooper?
Yes.
Representative Peters?
Yes.
Representative Rooney?
Yes.
Representative Williams? Representative Ruckman excused. The bill passed.
By your vote, PCB EES 1301 is reported favorably. Thank you, members. I will be turning the meeting back over to Chairman Boyd.
Thank you, Vice Chair Diaz. I appreciate that very much. And thank you, members, for that support. Again, I appreciate all that you all have all done very much. Members, that brings us to a close of the meeting today. But before we adjourn, I'd like to just mention a couple of quick things. First of all, and most importantly, I'd like to spank the speaker. Sorry, I'm not going to do that, I promise you. I might be the one getting that after that comment. All righty. I would like to thank the speaker for his leadership on this very, very important issue. Speaker, if you're watching, I am so sorry, sir. As you know, the speaker made it a priority to ensure that voters in Florida can exercise their right to vote fairly and confidently. And as we've discussed, I believe that this bill that we've voted through today accomplishes that objective. I'd also like to thank each of you again on both sides for all you've done, all your diligence in coming together to create a bill and pass a bill that we can all be proud of. And again, I don't want to make light of this. I really want to thank Leader Thurston, Floor Leader Waldman, and Ranking Member Cruz for all they've done to work together with us on this. So I am honored to chair this subcommittee. Look forward to working with you over the rest of our meetings. As I mentioned earlier, we'll be taking up ethics reform at our next committee. We do have a week off next week, as you probably noticed. So after two meetings a week for some time now, that's a nice break. And but we'll be taking up ethics when we return. And finally, I want to thank our staff. Many of you don't know it, but they have worked day and night on this bill and on getting us to this week, what we've accomplished. And Karen, Leah, and your team, thank you so much for all you've done. I've left a lot earlier than they have, but they've been here with lights on late at night getting us to where we are today. And members, this week has been a big week for Florida, not for the House, not for the Republicans, not for the Democrats, but for Florida. We've accomplished a lot this week, and I'm very proud of what you all have done. So thank you very much, and with that, Vice Chair Diaz moves we rise.